97.5, The Fanatic.
This is Joel Embiid, and you're listening to Devon Givens from 97.5.
Thank you, Joel. 702, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. 610-632-0975. Joel Embiid last night. He and Ben Simmons led the team as we broadcast again from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Team high, 26 points for Simmons and Embiid. Simmons with another triple-double, 26, 12 boards, 10 assists, 42 minutes and 43 seconds, 12 of 22 from the floor. That's what I loved from his game last night as well. Aggressive with 22 shot attempts, 2 of 3 from the free throw line, 3 turnovers in 42 minutes. And why do I love the 3 turnovers? Only 3 turnovers. Because Ben Simmons against Kawhi Leonard in the past, specifically last year against the Toronto Raptors when Kawhi Leonard was opposite him, 11 turnovers in one game, 8 in another. Two games, 19 turnovers between two games. Ben Simmons has not performed well. And he gave you a complete game last night. He played the entire game, 42 minutes. We know that 48 minutes in the game, but you know what I mean. 42 minutes and 43 seconds. That performance from Ben Simmons last night was tremendous. Arguably his best game of his young career with this particular game last night at home. Yes, we can bring up the Boston game to start this season off. We could even talk about game 2 against the Brooklyn Nets in the playoffs at home last season because of how bad he was in game 1. The fact that Brooklyn came into Philadelphia and stole game 1. Ben Simmons was phenomenal last night. Joel Embiid, 8 of 17, 28 minutes and 10 seconds. Got to the free throw line, 8 of 13. 13 times, 8 of 13. 2 of 5 from deep, 9 boards, 2 assists, 1 turnover for his night, his stat line, 26 points as well. So tremendous. We could talk about Tobias Harris. And I was saying this to Tyrone before he left. And we'll get to the phones, Dame, Roy, Josh, Tony, everybody else, 610-632-0975. It was a complete game last night. Yes, the Clippers put up 10 people in double figures led by Kawhi Leonard's game high 30. Landry Shamet gave you 19. Everyone else 13, 13, 11, and 10. But you got the overall game from Simmons and Embiid with their point totals at 26 to lead the team in scoring. But while Tobias Harris, if you want to say this, only had 17 on 8 of 9 shooting, he contributed with 12 boards, 5 assists, no turnovers in 36 minutes and 57 seconds. But here's my thing. The score after one was 30-22 Sixers. They were up 8, starting things off, because he got rolling. And while Embiid set the tone to start the game with the layup early, get the foul and one, missed the free throw, I got it, he did have 4. To start things off, Tobias Harris had 11. The Sixers at one point were up 12 in the game early on. They gave it up later, regained that again, and they ultimately won by 7 points, 110-103. But for Simmons and Embiid to play the way they did, front to back, great games from both, right? Then you look at Tobias Harris starting things off with his 11. And then in the final frame, in the fourth quarter, Josh Richardson, total 21 points on the night, 17. Erupted for 17 in the fourth quarter. And as I look at the fourth quarter box really quickly, 17, 6 of 9 from the floor, 3 of 3 from behind the three-point line, and a couple of deep ones, mind you. 2 of 3 from the free throw line, 1 turnover, 2 rebounds, in 11 minutes and 18 seconds. He played the entire fourth quarter. He was there. When we talk about this before the season, when we talked about it in season, he was their go-to guy down the stretch last night with his 17. And just like Furkan Korkmaz, where he had his 34 the other on Sunday against 31 on Sunday against the Chicago Bulls, when we talked about him, and I was talking to World Be Free when we were down there, and we were looking at each other like, man, this dude is hot. And we looked at World, and we were saying that the great part about this is they're looking for him. They're finding him. So he's making one. He's making two. And now you see the guy. We've all done it. We've all played where you have the hot hand. Find me. find me. I'm hot. Get me the rock. And that's what they were doing. He was hot. They were locating him. They were making that extra pass to allow him to continue that hot streak that he had going on, totaling 31 against the Bulls on Sunday. Last night, in the fourth quarter, Josh Richardson had it going. So the play calls that were happening, yes, in transition, they would find him, let him do his work one-on-one. But they were also looking for him, and he was delivering. He delivered last night to help close the game out. That was arguably their best performance of the season. Milwaukee was great. The L.A. Laker game was great on that Saturday a couple of weeks ago. And last night, to close out this first half of the season, 55 in the book, 27 left after the All-Star break. That was a tremendous win for this team last night. Not to get carried away, but just talking about the importance of once again going into the break where they're feeling good about themselves. They've had so many different things. Even the small things like a win going into the All-Star break is important, where it helps boost the team's morale. A new lineup change with Al Horford coming in. All of that stuff. That was a good win last night. So you guys, you can even talk about that. We're still asking for your favorite All-Star moment with the All-Star game this weekend. I will not be on this weekend or Thursday or Friday, so we wanted to get that stuff in with you guys tonight. So main question, your biggest positive from the first 55, your biggest disappointment, and once again, your expectation for the second half of the Sixers season. It's 27 games, 14 at home, where they're in 25-2 now, 13 on the road, 9-19. I'll give mine once again if you're just tuning in. My positive has been Ben Simmons and his overall play, elevating his game over the last couple of months, where he's been really, really good. Free throw percentage going up. I love it. Biggest disappointment, how Al Horford has fared within the Sixers offense. Never looking to him to be a 17-point-per-game scorer, but in the flow of the offense, I've seen better with the Boston Celtics and the Atlanta Hawks. Still an adjustment for him within this one. And it's not all on him. I still put some of that on the coaching staff and not figuring out of how to better use him, utilize his skills within the half-court set. And my expectation for the second half of the season, they're going to perform well at home. 25-2, as we just mentioned, 14 remaining. I expect a solid win total as the April 15 comes, as the close of the season, regular season, and we get ready for the playoffs. My thing is, my expectation, I need a better above 500 record on the road for this team. Try to get those W's on the road. So as we get ready for April 15th, the final game, getting ready for the postseason, seeing where they are in the Eastern Conference standings, they need to find a way to feel good about themselves on the road the same way they do at home. I understand a 7-game series. If you have home court advantage, 4 are in your place, 3 are away. There's no guarantee you're going to win all of yours. There's no guarantee they're going to win all of theirs at their place either. Remember how to win on the road. That mental toughness of winning on the road. That's what my second half expectation is for this squad. 610-632-0975. We head back to the phones. Connor Thomas is producing the show. We'll get to him. Damon in West Philly next on the Fanatic. What's up, Dame?
Hey, Devon. Good evening, man.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Listen, great, great show. About to piggyback off of not only what you said tonight, but even going back to last night, in regards to Ben. I do remember those 11 and turnovers and 9 games, turnovers against Toronto with Kawhi. And it hurt us, obviously. Yes, you said, yes, it was brutal. So then last night with the 3, and you talk about the dog, I think Ben is a dog. I think because he's stoic, right? No disrespect as far as his demeanor on the court is one. So he gets the most in there, but never too high, never too low. But in terms of his defense, I see him throw that dog in there. Man, you said some wonderful things in regards to with the team that I'm liking. So, like, I've been preaching, when the Sixers move the ball, they play very well. You touched upon some amazing points. So the tone has to be set with Joe and Ben, and that happened last night. Tobias started out hot. Although, like you said, if you look at the points, but he was effective with the board. So
yeah.
Boom, I loved it. You know what I mean?
Yep. He's a very good rebounder. A lot of people don't realize.
Yes, and he tracks the ball, and he can be even better when he focuses in on that. So you then you got, you know, Horford, you know, actually getting in that role, and it's almost like they have like three teams. I've often said that now with the additions of Burks and Robinson, they have that. So now you got Richardson, who I think Devon, people don't realize we missed them on that road trip. We missed
Rich
on that road trip.
I agree.
He can create his own shot. So boom, moving forward, I'm like you. You're 98% at home. You're a little less than 50% on the road. Like, have you ever seen anything like that, man?
I have not, man. I can't put my finger on it. I don't understand how it's this way. Why is this such a discrepancy when you go on the road? Last year, and I'm going to look up last year's standing as well, man, because they were not this bad on the road.
Yeah, I'm like, do we take a recording of the crowd and a piece of the Wells Fargo to put it on a bench on the road? Like, what do you do? Like,
you got the same players, the same coach, the same, you know, play calls and all of that stuff. You have fans in the building. It may not be 20,000, but you have enough bond together, right?
Yeah, man. So I think that if Brett can figure this thing out and we, because we have to tighten up, we'd be in a good position. So yeah, man, I'm looking forward. That's what I like to see. Road, I'm with you with the road. I guess that's my major disappointment. And when they come down, here's the other thing. Like last night watching the Celtics and the Rockets, right?
Yeah.
Rockets took small ball to another level, obviously. So these teams are coming down court one pass and shooting threes, but they're built for that. Like Brett said, we're a different team. When we move and cut, some people talking about Ben being a four. Yeah, you can at times, but he's a point guard. Remember that play last night? He's driving, Jay Rich cuts. Boom. That's effective.
Yeah.
Against smaller guards, against, you know, other defenders. So yeah, we have the pieces, man, and they're young. I know people don't want to hear it. I mean, Brooke Myers is 22. You have to be patient, but they can do it as far as taking it to that next level, but they have to play in that rhythm like they played last night to bottle that up.
No, I hear you. Dame, great stuff as always, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the kind words. Last year, guys, on the road, the 76ers 20-21. That's all I ask. Milwaukee was 27-14. Toronto 26-15, but the Sixers and Celtics right there. Sixers one game under 500. The Celtics one game above 500. That's all I ask. That's it. Now, it's going to be tough to get. They're not going to win all 13 and get back there. But my goodness, 9-19 is not cutting it. Not cutting it at all. So 13, let's say they got 13, 9-19. They can go 19-22. I'll be satisfied. They can only lose three on the road, which is not going to happen. I would be thrilled. They put themselves in a hole. They can make it up, get these W's, jump up in the highs, whatever, 50s. They had 51 last year. They were third seed in the Eastern Conference. It's not going to happen this time. They still need to get in the 50s, though, and get as high as possible, start climbing that ladder in the Eastern Conference and putting himself in a better position, especially with the home court advantage. Because I know one thing, we always broadcast from Xfinity Live for our pregame shows to get started for the playoffs, and we like to be outside and all that. I need game one to be here on that Saturday or Sunday where we're broadcasting outside of Xfinity Live, getting ready for the postseason play. That's where I want to be. We draw those great crowds. Everyone comes out. All the Sixers gear is fantastic. They need to get it together. And when they get there, win on the road. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock. Joe Torti in at 8. Connor Thomas producing the show. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Tony in South Carolina, hitting us up here on the Fanatic Tonight. Tone.
Hey, what's up, Devon?
What's going on, Tone?
Hey, man, appreciate you giving me a chance to speak. Oh. Wanted to talk about the Sixers, definitely.
Yeah.
So, a couple things. You guys mentioned the dog, and there's definitely no dog on the team right now. We have a few puppies, but no complete dogs. I think Matisse, you know, Tobias, Jay Rich, those guys got some dog in them, and even Ben, but they're not complete dogs yet.
Do you need the dog to be like Jimmy, where he shows it, or he just has the dog like Damian Lillard, but doesn't have to let you know, he just does it?
I think we're going to see the difference when we play him in the playoffs.
Mm.
when we match up against the Heat in the playoffs, we're going to see the difference between having a little dog in you and having a dog. Because Jimmy Butler is not going to take a stance back, even though these guys are friends. He's going to rip their heart out. Jimmy Butler know how to do surgery. These guys don't know surgery yet. And they'll find out after that. But there's a couple other things I wanted to talk about, too.
Sure.
In reference to your biggest positives. Biggest positive for me is who we talking about, Ben Simmons. I mean, he establishing himself as the number one defender in the league, period.
Big time.
Not top five.
And he may not win Defensive Player of the Year, but he will probably be on that first team all defensive NBA if he keeps this up.
He's the guy. The problem is he has too much negative controversy around him surrounding this shot. If that wasn't there, it would be hands down.
But you know what? That's on him.
Right.
As much as I love him, you know I love him. That's on him.
But that's not defense.
No, it isn't. So, but he's a two-way player.
I agree. I think that was a big positive for me, is that this guy just established when he's sticking Kawhi, mm-hmm. and he go up against, you know, Paul George, LeBron, Giannis, and he'll do that at will, switch on him. You know, that's just showing that he's ready to take on that challenge, and I think he's willing to do it every night, and he's in the shape to do it every night. So that's my biggest positive. My biggest disappointment got to be Joel, man. I mean, the guy's 7 foot, 300 pounds. Mm. He the most dominant force in the league. And when you got guys like Shaq looking at you and telling you, go out and dominate every night, we can look at you and see it. You have all the skills, the tools, and you want to play a Twitter game and you want to, you know, go back and forth with the fans. That's my biggest disappointment. The guy needs to just get in there and dominate, period.
Okay. Any all-star moment?
Oh, yeah. Man, Levine and Gordon. I mean, I watched a lot of basketball.
That was yours.
But that dunk contest might have been one of the top. I mean, them guys, it wasn't just that they were doing difficult dunks. They were making the dunks on the first try. So when you see guys like that, and they, you know, don't forget, Zach jumped from the foul line and put it through his legs.
Yes, he did.
So I know something about jumping from the foul line. But
I was talking about the one that Vince. But people don't remember, Tone, when Vince Carter did it, he did it with two hands. That's hard.
Vince is by far, I don't want to say by far, but I'm just going to say, to me, he's probably the best dunker that came through the league.
That's mine. That's absolutely mine. Tone, great stuff, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Yes, Zach LaVine, left to right between his legs, jumping from the free throw line. I can't do it. You know what I mean, Connor? I can't do it.
Me either.
Yeah. So, you know, that's that. But I just thought that the Vince Carter one, 20-year anniversary, fantastic. Fantastic. So I love what he did in that one. Sometimes I'll just go to YouTube and watch the quick rundown of all of his dunks, the reaction from the crowd. My favorite one was when he came from underneath off of the baseline, from behind the basket, windmill, 360 windmill. Ill. 610-632-0975. Josh from the cell next on the Fanatic. Josh.
Hey, Devon. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing all right, man. How about yourself?
It's wonderful to talk to the realist of Sixer basketball all the time.
So. Oh, man. I appreciate that.
Well, you listen, between you and me, man, we get plenty of great knowledge.
Yes, so. D and I have fun doing our shows. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, listen, I'll start it with my all-star point first. Is, do you remember, I guess I was, I'm 43, so this is, I'm in early 90s. When Magic Johnson got AIDS, I was in economics class, and my teacher brought in a front page picture of him and said, the next time you see him in the front page, he will be gone.
Mm.
Well, as we know, he's not gone. But my moment was, and it's the first time that kind of a disease like that and sports to me kind of hit home, was when he came out, you know, for hugs, and then but he went off to hit all those threes, correct, in the and wasn't he the MVP of that game?
You talking about Magic?
About Magic, yeah.
Yeah, and remember the one that really got is when he shot it over Isaiah as the clock in the fourth quarter was winding down, shot clock, and he heaved it. I think, I don't know if it was from the top or if it was from the right wing, but whatever it was, he nailed it. The crowd went crazy. Yeah, I think he was MVP. Yep.
Yes, and that was the first time that sports and a disease like that hit home because, you know, in the early 90s, it was, you know, it was a scary thing back then. I mean, I'm sure you remember.
Yeah, it was, man. That was a powerful thing.
You know, so it was nice to see those athletes that I looked up as, you know, being a teenager, you know, say, listen, this is okay. We'll all deal with it in the way of life. So, you know, it expanded basketball in my mind that, you know, listen, we are all human at some point.
Yeah, so, I'm glad you brought that one up because that was one that I had written down that is obviously a standout moment in All-Star Weekend history, All-Star Game history, was that. He did not play in the regular season. David Stern had to give him basically a waiver to let him play. He wanted to play. They invited him to play. And while some were bothered by it and worried, Karl Malone, I'll point my finger at him, and, you know, everybody showed out and they did their thing. And remember when they were taking turns, Jordan taking turns defending them, Barkley wanted a piece, Isaiah wanted a piece. It was great.
You know, it was the first time that I had seen real grown, and in my mind, grown men, which they weren't. They were probably in their 20s at that point.
Sure.
But they look like grown men to me. Just showing respect for someone that they didn't know what to expect. I don't think they knew either. You know, what if he would be around 25 years later?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so, my real quick question for you before I get to the Sixers point is, did they invite Vince Carter to the All-Star game this year like they did
Dwayne Wade? Nah.
And
I think we would have heard about it already.
Well, if they didn't, they didn't do the League of Service.
I totally agree. I didn't like it when they did it last year with Dirk and D. Wade, but if you're going to do it for someone like Vince Carter as well. He's a Hall of Famer. He is an all-time great, as we know. He may not be Dwayne Wade where he's won three titles, but he has had his career, and which is a great one, and lasting longer in the NBA than anyone.
Well, listen, when you're playing Toronto in the early 90s, you ain't going to win many titles. Well, I wouldn't say he's not the Wade Wade, but I'll tell you what, he's as close to Dirk and Wade as you can get as a true 20-year-old.
Man. Listen, Josh, hang on, man. We got to take a quick break. Connor, you can just get his final thoughts on the Sixers, and we'll react to that on the other side. But Roy, Greg, Sean, AJ, and Duke, 610-632-0975. If you guys want to get in, Connor Thomas is producing the show. I'm Devon Givens. The 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Club Risque, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with three locations in Philly, Bristol, Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. To reach us, 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10. Joe Torti in at 8. Connor Thomas producing here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. 95 The Fanatic.
What's going on, everybody? This is Mikal Bridges from the Phoenix Suns.
1-point lead, and now Bridges with a steal. Down the lane, layup up and good.
And you listen to my cuz, Devon Givens, on 97.5 The Fanatic. V's up.
Yes, indeed, little cuz. Game tonight, final one of the break for them as they take on the Golden State Warriors. Takes on his boy, Eric Paschal, tonight in Phoenix. Still got to get out there. 610-632-0975, but they'll be here March 27th. So, I'm looking forward to that. We're all ready, all geared up for that one. So, if you're looking for me on March 27th for a pre and, of course, the in the post after the game, not happening. I'm off that night. Friday night. Cuz back in town, we're in the building. 610-632-0975. Connor, what was Josh saying about a Sixers point?
So he was basically saying for his biggest disappointment, he can't come up with one yet, because until that quadruple bounce moment happens again for this team this year, they're not dead to him because of the talent they have in the building. So even though it may have been disappointing before the All-Star break, until you actually see them dead and know there's no shot, he can't be out on them until that point.
Okay. All right. That's fair. That's fair. That's why we're asking how you feel. I still look at a disappointment with the road woes that they've had and Al Horford, the coaching staff specifically, not finding a way to incorporate him a little bit more, finding his strengths within the offense. 610-632-0975. Roy is calling from New Hampshire, joining us tonight on the Fanatic. What's up, Roy? How you doing?
What's going on, Devon? Hey, man, look, I was talking with your producer about this. Cookmas.
Yes.
I've been impressed with him. But last night in the game, he started. Mm-hmm. And the two 30-point nights that he had, he came off the bench.
34 and 31.
And Brett,
yep.
Yeah, and Brett Brown kept him in the game. And I kept saying, why don't you go back? I was saying to myself, why doesn't he go back to Glenn Robinson or Burks to try to get them going and then maybe come back to Korkmaz? Korkmaz didn't score 1 point. And I'm saying, I don't believe you take a player off the bench and then put him in the starting role and expect the same production. You should have left him in the same role. And I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Well, when Brian announced it yesterday when we were doing the Sixes and 60, so when Brian announced it, I was surprised, number one, because Al Horford was not starting, that Brett Brown decided to do what he did. And secondly, to your point, Roy, that it was Furkan Korkmaz and not Matisse Thybulle or Glenn Robinson or someone else. Right.
Exactly.
Now, because he's always talking about making sure that he keeps the guys in certain spots and keep them in their place. And Furkan Korkmaz has fared as a reserve player coming in right around that 6 minute mark and do what he does. I guess he just figured over the course of the last two games with the 34 and 31, career high 34, that he was hot. He was going to go in. He may not give you a 30 plus, but he's going to still shoot well and have that outside shooting in that starting five where the defense has to defend them in a specific way. And that's what they did because they made it real difficult for him. He was in the scouting report. That's where Paul George comes in, an all-NBA defender on the wing. Kawhi Leonard, the same thing. Marcus Morris, try to get physical with him, chasing him around, all that stuff, right? And that's what we saw, 0-5 and 0-4 from deep.
That is my big concern about this team going forward, is that I believe the Sixers have the horses to do what they're supposed to do. I really do. But Brett Brown and his rotation is all – I just think he loves European players. And that European style, that he gets lost in what he's supposed to do as far as other players on the bench. And I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see Neto in there sometime in the playoffs. I really wouldn't. I really wouldn't. And he shouldn't be in there. He shouldn't come off the bench.
Well, I think right now Josh Richardson and Alec Burks are probably ahead of him right now and will maybe even shake.
And they should be.
Maybe even
and
shake.
And they should be.
Okay. Yeah.
And they should be. I just have no confidence in this coach. That's the problem. I have no confidence in this coach.
Yeah, I've never been the biggest fan. As we know, I've given him the credit, as I always say, because of what he's done with the back-to-back 50-win seasons. But as much as he is a problem, there's some issues elsewhere. Let's see what he does with the second half. I did like what he did last night overall. You know, whether it was Furkan Korkmaz was the right choice or not, I like what he did in the second half, Roy, where he did start Glenn Robinson, to your point, because
I did.
Korkmaz was not performing well offensively and defensively. You know, he just wasn't going to be able to stop Lou Williams. Yeah, exactly. It just was what it was. Yeah, so quick thing before we let you go. All-star moment?
I go back to Dr. J, man, when he did that dunk from, it looked like he came from half court, man, but it was like
free throw line.
The key. Dr. J, man, just did it for me, man.
I hear you.
Man, I go all the way back to the eight, man. I graduated in 81, man, out of high school, man.
So that's Dr. cool. You saw some really good basketball.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Yes,
yeah,
indeed.
Yeah, dude.
Hey,
yeah,
Roy, great stuff, man.
All right.
Thanks for the call. Okay. Appreciate it. 610-632. 0975. Yeah, I was surprised Korkmaz got the start. Surprised in the sense that you didn't want to just leave him in his normal role coming off the bench like Roy talked about. But it made sense because of the fact that he has been hot. He was rolling. So put him in the starting lineup, see if he can continue that. But what you do there is you expose him to two of the best defenders in the NBA on the wing at the start of the game. They take him out of it. He never gets his rhythm going. And he's done for the rest of the night in that sense because he's not giving you anything out there on the floor. 610-632-0975. Greg on the cell. What's up, Greg?
Hey, how you doing, Devon?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. I know it's been a couple of years, but do me a favor. Give a shout-out to your cousin, Mikel, man.
Oh, I appreciate
that. Thank you for Nova.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, man.
Can you please, like, block callers that say Ben should play the four?
Why is that?
Because why would you want him to play the four? I mean, are you going to make him stationary? Are you going to, like, let him not facilitate the ball? Like, come on, really?
Nah, you can do both. Like, we have point forwards in the league that we've seen, Greg.
I don't know.
Like Scottie Pippen would initiate things for the Chicago Bulls. We see it with Kawhi Leonard with the Toronto Raptors. Even now with the L.A. Clippers. Paul George used to do it for the Indiana Pacers. Kevin Durant, Draymond Green. There are plenty of guys who play off the ball, still are able to be initiators as a ball handler, as a basketball player, and still have the same impact. I believe Ben Simmons can do that. And we've seen both.
Shoot.
Yeah, I know. But again, that's him limiting himself because he can't shoot.
Well, what he does best is attack the basket. And he's doing that, like, for the last 2.5 months. You have to let him attack the basket. And when he doesn't see it, kick it out.
Well, can I give you how to attack the basket also by not being at the top of the key all the time? Where he is playing off the ball, he comes up from, let's say, the baseline, does that handoff from, let's say, Al Horford, gets the ball from him at the top of the key, comes off, rubs his man off that screen, and attacks, going left, make a decision from there.
I say this,
Greg, because now the defense is not set where he's at the top of the key initiating things. He's coming off of some action, getting the ball off a dribble handoff. He's going to go left hard, or go right, you know, reverse back to the right and make a decision, and therefore the defense is not set. They have to make a choice as to what they're going to do.
Yeah, but I mean, like last night, it was sweet.
It was.
Okay, to watch him have me watch him make a 15-foot jumper, squared his shoulders, boom.
Yeah. No, and everyone was talking about it.
Do that.
Well, that's something that we have to accept at least right now. Next year, it's a story again. If it continues to be a story at some point, I believe, Greg, thanks for the call. We're just going to have to allow it to be what it is. But he's not going to do that. But if he gives you the defense that he gives you, free throw shooting percentage is higher, finishing strong at the rim as he progresses as a player in this league and continues to give you numbers and they win games, we're probably just going to have to accept him for what it is with that flaw in his game. 610-632-0975, or maybe not. Maybe as the years go on, he decides that he can shoot the basketball and he does it. 610-632-0975. Joe Torti will be in at 8. We have AJ, Sean, David, Duke, Nate, and one open phone line, 610-632-0975. Biggest disappointment, biggest positive, your expectation for the second half of the season, and an all-star memory that's a favorite for you. I'm Devon Givens, Connor Thomas producing. We're here until 10 on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on, Philly? It's Mike Scott from the Philadelphia 76ers, and you're listening to Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Mike Scott in the rotation, of course. Struggling a little bit this season, but hopefully down the stretch he's able to find a shot and get things rolling for this team. They need his outside shooting. They need that toughness out there on the floor defensively, versatility. It will be nice, of course, to see him get into a nice rhythm over the final 27 going into the postseason. 610-632-0975. A lot of people waiting to get in to talk about all of this with the positive, the disappointment, the second half of the season, and your all-star moment. So we'll continue to do so. 610-632-0975. AJ, what's going on, man?
Hey, Brian.
What's happening?
Not much, man. I love hearing the conversation with the people. You know, you got good ones and bad ones.
Yes.
But it's all good, though. It's all good, though, man. One, my biggest surprise, the thing I love, is that trade for Alec Burke. That's the guy I was calling for. And Glenn Robinson. Mm-hmm. I think with and you got to remember, all of these moves is a process. This is kind of a weird team. It's not just an easy team to put together. It's not an easy team to coach. It's not, and these things is going to just go through. If y'all think about it, this is the first year of Al Horford, Tobias Harris, and Ben Simmons max contracts with Richardson on the team. So they're going to have time to build.
Actually, Ben's doesn't kick in until next year.
Yep, yep. And that's leading into my point, where the only way that you can have this great bench play, it got to be late second round draft picks. That's the only way you can continue to add to your team.
You said late second rounders?
Or second rounders.
Oh, second rounds in general. Okay.
Yeah, late first rounds or second rounders. Guys like Hart, guys like Kyle Kuzma, guys like Josh Richardson when he came out. You got to find those guys.
Right.
And Elton Brand found Landry Shamet. He identified Thibault. I think the boy know what he's doing with talent. Now, why I think that trade was so important, because I think next season with Shake Milton, Zaire Smith, Thibault, Mario Shayok, and Norvell Pell, that's going to have to be the bench that the Sixers can afford without dipping too deep into that luxury tax. And they get to watch the players play now and see how to be effective on the floor. That's why I think that trade was so big, man.
Well, I also think that they'll look at, you know, the some of the exceptions that they will have, where they'll be able to spend a certain amount of money to get some good players in here as those reserve players coming off the bench with those smaller contracts.
Yeah, and that's why it was
like
so
the mid-level exception, things of that nature.
Yeah, that's why it was so big for me to hit on those draft picks, because if you drafted Kuzma and Tatum in the Markelle Fultz draft, and if you drafted Devin Booker, if you hit on those picks, then you can go over the cap, and it'll be all good. But I kind of love the way the team is constructed. I love Al Horford coming off the bench and give us a full 48 minutes of hell to give the other teams, and they're not going to be able to deal with it. I think Brett Brown is going to pull the strings very comfortably with the roster that we got.
Okay, you got an all-star moment?
Now, my most favorite all-star moment is Allen Iverson rookie game with Marcus Camby and Steph Barberry and Ray Allen, Antoine Walker, AI dropped 30. Dropped 15.
Don't leave out Kobe.
Kobe dropped 30, but he was a gunner in that jaw.
That's what the All-Star game happened. You know how it goes.
But it was a lot of out-of-youths. Marcus Camby threw AI live.
Yeah.
Like, it was great. And my second favorite moment is when Iverson was in the All-Star game. I forgot where it was at, but we were
Washington,
down by like
2000.
15.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
He scored that thing 25-5-5.
Him and Marbury and I can't remember who else, but it was really him and Marbury in the fourth quarter.
That's my favorite moment. I still watch the rookie game to this day. And I want y'all to Google when Khalil and I mean Steve Francis, Lamar Odom, and Martin, that rookie game was crazy. They made NIV fall that game.
Yeah. Yeah. Those were the best ones, man, back then with those guys, man. Those were the best rookie games. AJ, thanks for the call. The rookie games, we had the rookies in the. It was just rookies. I don't even think there were rookies and sophomores at that point. It was just the rookies. Those games were always fun, man. 610-632-0975. Sean in East Falls next on the Fanatic. Sean, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Devon? Love your show, man.
Thank you so much.
I just wanted to call in because watching that game last night, watching these players actually play to their full capacity, it's just like, why can't we do this all of the time? Like, Joel Embiid is so incredibly talented. Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons, all the people who call in and they're, what does he shoot? What does he shoot? Like, remember Gary Payton? Like, he'll eventually shoot, but just leave the guy be. He's like, how old is he? Like, 22?
Oh, Ben?
Yeah, Ben Simmons.
23.
Yeah, 23. I don't even know what I was doing when I was 23 years old. And this guy is literally, like, helping carry this team into the playoffs single-handedly. So, like, just lay off and just, like, let them be. If anything, just I, for the longest time, have given Brett Brown the benefit of the doubt. Because, honestly, who is better out there now? But now, so, like, my biggest disappointment, all I'm going to say is Brett Brown for me. Hmm. Because I'm just, like, I'm kind of done with it. I'm like, dude, if you can't get the most out of this roster, like, we have literally the best center in the league. We have, like, one of the best young talents in Philadelphia in a very long time, and Ben Simmons, surrounded by a bunch of, like, other players who are extremely talented as well. Like, I just don't understand why we can't do this on a consistent basis. Like, it's a Philly thing. Like, we'll never have the number one wide receiver on the Eagles. We'll never have the goalie with the Flyers. We'll never have the hitter with the Phillies. We'll never have the three-point shooter with the Sixers. But it's like, dude, just do it. Like, every other team in the East is trash.
These teams aren't trash in the East now.
Compared to the West. That's what I mean. Like, compared to the West.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, Milwaukee obviously is the one that everyone has their eye on. They're probably gunning for 70 wins, going for that Golden State record. They're trailing right now as they take on the, who are they taking on right now? I just saw it. But, I hear you. It's so wild. And that's what we've been talking about, how they're just so Jekyll and Hyde, Sean, on the road and at home, because that's the problem. It's the road. It's not at home. They're 25-2. It's the road games.
Like, what do they need to motivate themselves on the road?
Like, I don't know.
Like, you've been to home. Obviously, you've been to home games. Like, it is such a ruckus crowd, and everybody wants to say, like, oh, Philadelphia fans, they're tough. They're tough. They just expect tough out of people. Like, they see Joel Embiid shove, was it Morris last night? And it's like, dude, we're not tough. We're just from the, we're from Philly. We're like, we're Diet New York. We are trash, but we embrace it. We're awesome because of it. Like, and we love the smash mouthness of, like, our sports teams. So stop saying we're tough, because, like, every star player on every team in Philadelphia is always hurt. So, like, just get over it and let's keep this moving and let's keep winning games.
What do you have for an all-star moment, Sean?
For an all-star moment, probably the under-the-legs junk from Vince Carter. Like, had a poster of it on my wall growing up. Like, dude was amazing.
I'm telling you, man, he had the one where he stood underneath the basket, underneath the rim, vertical, between the legs dunk. And my favorite, the one where he came from the baseline and did the 360 windmill dunk. Mm-hmm. That was mine, Sean. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. Sorry about that. 610-632-0975. Just crazy. Crazy stuff. Duke and Erie. What's going on, man? Erie F.
Yo, what's up, Devon? How you doing, fam?
Oh, Duke, I'm doing great, man. What's going on with you? You all good?
Hey, yo, I love your piece, man. He said Erie is spelled just like Erie PA. I said yesterday, Hey, listen, I'm not going to hold your time up. All I'm going to say is I called tonight because I appreciate you. I will congratulate you, and I want to participate with you. Never been a hater. That's how we do in Erie Avenue.
Let's do it, man. I appreciate that, Duke, so much.
Listen, your last man, I was loving him, though. I'm waiting for wifey and my daughter, and I'm laughing my butt off. At the end of the day, just calm down. All I need in the playoffs is game two. Whoever got home court, I ain't worried about it. We talked only one other time. I moved up in 2018 full-time back in Philly, but I was living in South Florida, so I got a South Florida team that be talking greasy, Devon.
Mm-hmm. Miami?
Oh, my God, we're going to have Embiid next year. I said, fall back, y'all.
Yeah, exactly. He's not going anywhere. Not right now.
Yeah, right? So y'all can have y'all prayers. Number two. All we got to do, man, is come together. We saw it last night. Share the ball. That's it. Share the ball and love each other, man. This is the city of brotherly love. I pray to God that Embiid and Ben find a way to love each other. And if they do, then it's going to be a problem.
That's what it's all about. Everything else really is gravy based off of what you get from those two guys as the leaders of this team, the two most talented players on this team. It's on their shoulders, it's on their backs, and we have to see if they can deliver what we've been waiting for after things started with that rebuild. They have some work to do. We'll see.
Well, when you got Stephen A. loving you in the beginning of the season, and he don't love nobody.
Yeah, he had him in the finals, didn't he?
Right? Can I give you my all-star moment, please?
Certainly.
Number one, I'm from North Philly, so I done seen all his – I'm a 70s baby. I done seen all his dunk in the playground in Huntington Park where, like, I wish it was cameras there or IG or something because I could have showed him something. But my favorite all-star moment is when Magic came back, man, and killed them all crazy. Because we thought – you know, when Magic made that statement,
yeah. We
thought Magic was going to be Kobe back. They hit us. In 90, I believe it was one, it hit us like Kobe just hit us. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, 92, I think it was. Yep. In Orlando.
And see, Magic, you saw it because we ain't too much far from each other.
Yeah.
I know you 80s baby, right?
Yeah.
Or 70s baby.
Yeah, 80s. Well, born in the late 70s. I saw it.
Enough said. So, yeah, so that's my favorite moment. Although I love my city. With Magic, I cried that game.
Yeah.
To be honest. Don't tell nobody.
I won't tell anybody.
Thank you for having my call, family.
You got it, Duke. Appreciate the love, man. Always. Thank you, man. Everybody else, my guys, Nate and Stan, Dave, Gerald, hang on. We come right back. Joe Torti will be in the house as well right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.